Our second scripture lesson again comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Jesus was teaching, and there was a crowd around him. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. Then I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God." May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I'm sure you've run across them in your life. I had a friend, and I've always referred to him as the bean counter. He's the one that takes special care to make sure that every T is crossed, every I is dotted, and when it comes to money, every penny is accounted for. I kind of teased him at times. We were members of the same presbytery. We were sitting on one of the financial committees of the presbytery, and I teased him about wanting to track down every penny and make sure that everything was exactly the way it ought to be. I always thought that here is a man who's got it all together. He accounts for everything, and everything, he's got his whole life in order. So I was kind of surprised when one time he came to me. He said, "Glenn, I need to talk with somebody." Now, like me, he had served small churches all of his career. He never had a lot of money, but as I said, he's a bean counter. He knew where every penny went. He and his wife had worked hard to own a home. Then when the mortgage was paid, they were blessed with an opportunity to buy a vacation home at the beach for a steal. He was telling me that, yes, those were really great blessings in his life. But then shortly thereafter, his wife's mother passed away. His wife inherited his mother's home and possessions in a town about 5 hours' drive away. His wife loved her childhood home. She wanted to retain ownership. However, shortly thereafter, the minister's own mother passed away in a neighboring state, leaving them to deal with her estate as well. He confided in me that keeping up with those properties had stressed him to the point where he was actually getting physically ill. These inheritance and these properties were indeed a blessing and a windfall, but it was not long before the minister realized that the properties were owning him far more than he was owning them. And if he was not careful, the stress would take his very life away. I saw in my friend's situation a lot of what Jesus is talking about in this parable. The man in the crowd asking Jesus to arbitrate a dispute over inheritance. But Jesus took the opportunity to teach about managing our blessings, managing the miracles in our lives, the windfalls that God may bring into our lives. The Old Testament tells us that this man, a younger man, had no claim to his father's estate. It would fall to the eldest brother, but the elder brother would have it in his power to share with the younger if he so chose. Now, Jesus tells the story of a rich fool. To the quibbling brothers. And of course, there's only one real point to the story. There's nothing wrong with a farmer building bigger barns to take care of a large windfall, a large crop. It probably made good sense. What was wrong was that he was unprepared for the fact that on the night in which he made that decision, he was going to meet his maker. He wasn't rich toward God. It wasn't that God was being unjust to him. In fact, the Greek text in Luke implies that the stress of caring for this windfall, the stress of building these big barns, was what would take the man's life. His time had come, hurried along by this great harvest. And he had given no thought whatsoever to the end of his life. He had no relationship with the one with whom he was destined to spend eternity. What he has are investments for children who might squander them shamelessly, and an impressive legacy for those who might soon forget him. Now, all this is said to the quibbling brothers to make the point that a person's life does not consist of what he or she owns. Real life consists in a relationship with the one who gives life. Then also with those who share this kind of abundant life with you. Everything else ultimately is death. It's a judgment story. It must have hit these brothers right between the eyes. It said, get your act together like the fool in the story. You're fiddling around with your life, piddling with issues that in the long run aren't important. You're possessed by possessions and you're not rich toward God. That's what Jesus is saying here. It's a word none of us like to have addressed to us. We don't like judgment. We like religious messages that are comforting, affirming, and encouraging. I love that second hymn we sang today. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side. It does bring comfort. It brings strength. But at the same time, a God who loves us too much to leave us alone in our sin. Yeah, we want to feel good about ourselves. The fact is, however, that like the brothers and the fool, we play with life and often do a poor job of recognizing what's truly important. We'd like to tell success stories about ourselves and our children. We'd love to tell how we or they got it all together, the house, the education, the job, the bank account, the investments. It may be a great success story, yours and mine, but Jesus says it doesn't amount to a hill of beans if we haven't been too rich toward God. Laying up treasures in heaven is a very real and important thing for those of us who follow Jesus Christ. Imagine if you could hear Jesus continue this conversation. Perhaps he would say something like this: life is a proving ground for right decisions. In all of life circumstances, you are given the opportunities to choose between the unimportant and the important. Over and over again, in the imagery used in his language, he talked about separating sheep from goats, wise from foolish, hearers from doers of the word, children of light from children of darkness. To you and me, all too often, we want a soft life, a comforting word. And Jesus tells this parable, this word of judgment. In terms of time you spend, the talents you share, the money you sacrifice, are you putting God first in your life? Are you prepared to meet God face to face? have you been rich toward God? This is a step on your toes message, isn't it? It's a story that should hit us between the eyes as it did the brothers. But it is, again, a story with the love of Jesus enmeshed in it. Thanks be to Christ who cares enough to tell us the truth. The other piece of good news, besides that Christ loves us enough to warn us, is that he shows us how to live an emancipated kind of life in which we are not tied to possessions, but we're tied to a love and devotion for God. By his rich prayer life, his regular visits to the synagogue, his time spent caring for people, teaching people, loving people, Jesus demonstrated a freedom from the kind of life that commits so much time to amassing things, property, caring for property, disposing of property. In spending himself for us at the cross, he surrendered the most important possession that a human being can give. That's his very self. And he did it in freedom. Nothing weighed him down. Nothing carried all of this significance that we often attribute to material things. And there's no more beautiful picture in all of history of the life perfectly lived than this free, self-giving, loving life of Jesus. Now, yes, we live in another time and place, and we're not about to surrender all we have to walk in the marketplace in old, worn clothes and sleep on the ground. And God isn't asking that from us. We are, however, encouraged by Jesus to trust that the life he gave us at the cross seeks to live within us and empower us. We're encouraged to claim the freedom he offers at the cross, to live for God and for our fellows through the power of Jesus' loving spirit living within us. I began this lesson with a story about my friend who is overwhelmed with inheritances. When we left him, he had four homes to spread across different states to care for. He was worn out with all the demands. His life and his ministry was suffering. So what did he do? He sat down with his wife and he prayed. They decided together to simplify their lives, but doing what God had called them to do so many years before. They sold off the homes and the property that were owning them, and they bought another small home to serve them in retirement. They placed some money aside so that he could continue to serve small churches, and he supported small church ministry wherever he could, bearing up churches who couldn't afford to pay a minister. His decision was a good example for me. In fact, he was an inspiration. As ministers, we don't often talk about our own commitment, financial commitments to the church. But God calls upon us for the same faithfulness that he does every member of the church. God laid claim to my life, just as he has laid claim to your life, to tell the good news of the gospel to the world, to use our resources to lay up treasures in heaven, to build up the kingdom of God right here where we live. To be owned by anybody or anything other than Jesus is unthinkable. To him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, deliver us from the tyranny of things, the burden of possessions, and the struggles to obtain. Turn our hearts, our minds, and our desires instead toward heaven. Help us to lay up treasures in heaven, to bring blessings to you through all that we can do and all that we can give in this life. We give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.